Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Today's key verse is found in Ecclesiastes 4, 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Turn to the person next to you and say, "We are better together." And you can high-five a whole bunch of people and take your seats. I'm not going to make you stand up for the whole of the preach. Thank you, Lord. So, we can't have a team Sunday without getting into a conversation of some of the great teams that exist in sports. Yeah? As my iPad freezes. Woo! Fantastic. Oh, here we go. It's alive. Thank you for whoever's praying for my iPad. Pastor Em and Aaron, thank you. So in the first service, we talked about AFL. We talked about soccer, but I know there's a lot of other sports out there. I can't be so exclusive. I know we talk about football nearly every single week. So good job. Amen. So I thought in the second service, I will talk about basketball. Any basketball heads here? Who likes basketball? I see that hand. So for me, I grew up watching the Chicago Bulls. Michael Jordan. It wasn't even streaming. I had to stay up at all hours of the night, watch it on SBS. It was all grainy. But the Chicago Bulls for me were like the best team ever. Seeing Michael Jordan fade away, and he's just so smug about it. He's just like, oh yeah, you can't beat him. But the Boston Celtics from 1956 to 1969 won 11 titles in 13 seasons, including 8 in a row. That's just crazy greatness in teams. There they are. And then I was going to talk about another sport, but as I left the auditorium, I got jumped. And you're like, what? At church? I got jumped by all the New Zealanders. Woo-hoo! I got a black eye underneath the makeup. I had to put makeup on because I have a black eye. They said, greatest teams of all. How could you not say the All Blacks? And I'm like, I said I had it in my notes for the second service. You didn't wait. You just beat me up out there, left me on the side of the road. Good Samaritan came along, patched me up. But the New Zealand All Blacks won 2 World Cups in a row from 2011 to 2015. No other team has won that. And then all the New Zealanders kept on going saying, but you've got to Google. If you Google the greatest team in all of sports, you will see that the All Blacks have the highest win percentage of any sport, of any team at any point in history. Wow. Yeah, that's what I said. They said it to me about 10 times. No, I didn't Google it. I take their word. All of them are... I'm trying to have a coffee with them. They're telling me stats about the All Blacks. A lot of passion there. My goodness. Well, Pastor Mick. I mean, Pastor Tony. We practiced this joke and I got it wrong. What's a great team for you? Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street. What a great team. What Pastor Tony actually said was Mick... Pastor Mick and Pastor Ernie. Now that's a great team. Hey, I ruined it and you're still laughing, so I'm going to take that. Pastor Mick and Pastor Ernie run our friendship group teams across all of our West location. And the last fortnight, it's winter, yeah? People don't go out in winter, right? The last fortnight, we had more people attending friendship groups than we ever have in this winter period in any time in history. Now, that's a stat I want to hear about, not about rugby and the All Blacks. I love everyone from New Zealand. I love you. What about the Bible? Some great teams in the Bible. How about the 12 disciples? Jesus had a team of disciples who went everywhere with him. In a passage in Mark, he talks how he sends them out to do their own ministry in groups of two. But my favorite team in history... Yeah, all-time greatest team is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Look how beautiful they are. We are part of the body of Christ. In Ephesians, Paul describes the body of Christ or the church, and he reminds every believer that they have a part to play. Each person has a part to play. And as I put these photos up, I want them to start kind of, what was the word that you said in the first service, Pastor Georgie? Ingrain in your minds, because this is life and life to the full. Thanks, Pastor Georgie. Enjoyers, the truth is that church is not a spectator sport. Yeah? Now, you might like watching sports and watching on the couch, but when you come to church, church is not a spectator sport. We need everyone participating. And hopefully by the end of today, we're going to clear the benches and we'll have a revelation of what it's like to be in the game. Matthew 28, 19, Jesus says, therefore, go. Go is a verb, not an adjective. I said adjective in the first and then I got corrected again. I've been corrected all day by you guys. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. For many of you, I know that I'm preaching to the choir right now. You're already on a team. You see the value of being on the team. You probably lead a team. And we want to celebrate you because we cannot do what we do week in and week out without you. And I was going to give the teams a shout out and then realize we have 11 midweek serving teams and 28 Sunday serving teams. So if you tell me there's no team for me, I don't know, I might give you the list and you can read it out because I can't read it out right now. My history, as soon as I got to Enjoy, 15 years ago, I reckon, it was 15 years ago, it was in building two. We hadn't walked across the Red Sea yet to this amazing building. But I remember being there was no grow track. I got there, there's no like, hey, why don't you go to grow track and you can see how you're wired and your giftings and you can be real specific in the team that you serve. I love grow track. I'm not making fun of it. I know my voice and my inflection kind of seems like I'm making fun of it, but I'm not making fun of it. What my grow track was, Pastor Shane seeing a guy with long hair, he goes, oh yeah, go to the worship team. Straight away, how do you know I play an instrument? He was right, he just had long hair. And he goes, hey, see that guy over there? I said, who's that? He goes, Ash. He had short hair. We've swapped now. I've got short hair. He's got long hair. That guy, Ash, go follow him. Go on his team. Do life with him. And then out of that, as I served on that team, I remember being put on choir straight away. He didn't give me induction. He didn't even teach me the songs. I didn't know the songs. I came from a Spanish church. All the songs were in Spanish. And I was up there in the choir, not knowing the words. We didn't have a monitor at the back, a confidence monitor. And all I remember was just making up the words. But I tell you what, the choir was infectious because everybody was moving. Everybody was dancing. Everybody was jumping. Just like F.A. here at the front today. He finished and he was sweating. I was jumping, I was praising and singing the wrong words, but I was on team. So for those of you who are already in, thank you, because you're on the court, you're on the field, you're in the game, and I'm not looking to convince you really, but maybe there's something in what I say today, in the teaching, in the truth that I share, that will help you articulate the value to others and inspire the people around you to buy in like you've bought in and I've bought in. There is power in the invite. Yeah? There is power in the invite. There is power in the positioning of how you serve on your team. I mean, no one's going to come to your team if you're on your team and you look like, what's the word? I nearly said something naughty. And we're streaming. but you look, you know, like you're not really there or sad. Who wants to join that team? The way you position yourself and carry yourself in your team is the most powerful tool of invitation that you can have. I'm learning to stop and think before I say, where am I? And I'm aware also that some of us may not have had the best experiences with team. Maybe when you were young, you wanted to play on a team and the coach just kept you on the bench. Or one of my most hated things was doing team projects in high school because there was only two of us doing all the work and everyone got the same grade. What's up with that? Or maybe you've been part of a team at work and it's been just a real negative experience. Or maybe you've been in church and it's been a negative experience. Maybe you've been rostered on too much. Maybe you know, being part of this team, you're literally out all the time and it's just left you dry and tired. And you're like, nah, team's not for me. And it's true. I get it. Everything we do, how we act, what we say, comes from how we grow up and the experiences we have. Sometimes it's not our nationality that we come from, or the church we grew up in, or the workplaces we're in. Our perceptions, our belief systems, and our experiences shape the way that we see the world around us. They literally become the lenses in which we view ourselves, our place, and our purpose. The lenses. People who wear glasses can probably relate a little bit more to that. I put on someone's glasses the other day. I couldn't see anything. But I do need glasses. I'm in denial. The thing is, lenses. I had this thought because I love photography and videography. I did a lot of it during COVID. I was like, hey guys, this is church through the lens. And you know what the great thing was? God kept moving. God kept speaking. God kept bringing people and people were being saved week in and week out. I got a note not too long ago about that. As I was saying, oh, you know, the whole season was so tiring. They said, well, here's one of the fruits of the labor of coming over and over and over again. My brother got saved through the lens. Imagine that. I do love photography, videography. I watch a lot of YouTube videos on what lenses to use, what camera equipment to use. Because you see, the lens that you use on the camera can change the perspective of the subject they are capturing. The lens will determine, I'll get a little bit technical with you, the way the light is rendered, how much light hits the sensor, the depth of field, the clarity and focus, and how out of focus the field appears, which can have such an impact on what the viewer sees at the end. And the thing is, we need the right lens for the different applications in life, the different places and the different subjects. Many, many moons ago, it feels like that, 15 years ago, I got married and we went on honeymoon, not the other way around. Yeah, got married. And I'm thinking, let's go somewhere nice and chill, like Brazil or Hawaii, you know? And my wife says, can we go to Antarctica? Antarctica? What's in Antarctica? Ice? A few penguins? You see, Lisa in year 8 did this huge project. Yeah, it took a whole term. The whole project was on Antarctica. She spent so much time. She drew all the little animals and did all the, you know, all the research. And she knew every animal that lived in Antarctica. She said, I want to go see all the animals I drew when I was in year 8. And I said, Antarctica, really? It's more expensive than going to Hawaii. But Antarctica. And I figured, it's cold in Antarctica. We're on our honeymoon. It's got to have its benefits. Hello. And I got excited about buying a new camera because I'm like, I've got to capture this. Who's going to believe I've been to Antarctica. And, you know, we're newlyweds, kind of not spend a lot of money on the camera equipment. We bought this, like, entry-level Canon that had a free lens with it. Anyone like free stuff? Well, this came with a free lens. It was an 18 to 55 millimeter lens. And there's a picture of it there. It's tiny. And I got excited. I'm going to take these amazing photos. They're going to be on National Geographic. My face will be on the magazine. They had magazines back there. It's all digital. I got excited. When I got there, everyone else that was in Antarctica had this lens. You know, yeah. I was like, okay, what's going on here? And to top it off, there was a competition. If you captured the most, like, amazing wildlife shot or the amazing ice block floating in the water, you would win. Like, there was I can't remember what the prize was, but it was a pretty cool prize. And I just went, like, full win mode. Like, teens are, like, winning. And I was trying to take photos with this tiny little camera. Everything's far. Like, we're on a boat or we're in on the land on the peninsula in Antarctica. And I couldn't get any good photos. I played around with the settings, the angle I was shooting. I tried to hide behind ice and rock and kind of like just get a penguin as it's walking by. And my photos sucked. I even looked at them the other day before coming here. And they were no good. I didn't want to show you. I was embarrassed. But the photos that the guys took with that lens, they were amazing. You see, the lens that we view our place, our position, our purpose, our role in the body of Christ and in the house that is Enjoy Church, if it's distorted by past experiences, if it's blurry because of our belief systems, or if it's ill-equipped just because we don't know what the Bible says, we will never have the full picture, the fullness of what God has for us personally and as a church. How then do we align and see ourselves? How do we see the church? How do we see the body of Christ as God intended it to be? Well, the first question I would ask is, how did Jesus see it? How did Jesus see it? See, Christ's kingdom, we talk about that all the time, kingdom. Christ's kingdom was a perspective shift, a lens shift from the very foundation of what a kingdom meant prior to him coming to earth. In Mark 10:43, it says, "Not so with you." He's talking to believers. "Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." 1 Peter 4:10, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." It doesn't say this gift or that gift specifically. These are the only serving gifts. It says whatever you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You see, Jesus changed the lens in which humanity viewed kingdom. Prior to that, those regarded as rulers lorded over the people. Jesus changed our perspective. He was amongst the people. He served the people. He brought life and hope to the people. He washed the disciples' feet. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he flipped what it meant to be kingdom. And if you're a visitor here with us today, or you've just been at Enjoy for a short amount of time, I want to tell you that we are here to serve you. We're here to serve you. We're here to pray with you, whatever prayer needs you have. We're here to walk with you on your journey. We're not here to judge. We're here to do life with you. Whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Church, enjoyers, how did we come to church today? And if you've been a seasoned Christian, or you've been in the faith for many years, and you call enjoy church home, did you come today to serve or to be served? Did you come to sit on the bench or play in the game? Did you come to spectate or participate? Did you come to watch or did you come to build? You know, week after week, we sing and pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of my favorite Enjoy originals literally has that line. And when we sing it, I see all of us in awe, putting our hands up, praising the Lord, declaring, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And to experience and see kingdom alignment in our lives, in our families, in our church and across all our locations, we must change the lens in which we see each other, we see our roles, our time together, and the importance that we carry. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are chosen. You are a royal priest, a holy nation. This is what God's speaking over us. God's very own possession. I love this bit. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. It says you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is the gate of heaven, the church. Genesis 28:17. How awesome is this place? This is where heaven collides with earth, where the presence of God is present. When this lens is the lens we view our world, we start to see the church go from strength to strength. Every Sunday in church, you're going to hear us talk about the ABCs. ABC, ABC, ABC. A, which is abide, not attend. Thank you, Pastor Georgie. Is sweet. When we attend church, we are blessed. The atmosphere of corporate worship is amazing in the presence of God. We have silky smooth lattes provided by an amazing cafe team at a much lower than everywhere else price. There's smiles, there's conversations, there's high fives. But there's even the greater reward in the B's in belonging to a friendship group. And I'm convinced though that this scales up significantly when we practice the C's, which is the contribute space. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Turn to the person next to you and say, good reward. So this passage, we've got two people, but they're not just any two people. We're talking about people who are laboring, who are working together, who are doing something, who are aligned. This passage is often used in the context of marriage, many wedding ceremonies, but in its fullness, the scripture talks about people working together whose labor is aligned. Working together for a common objective. Two cannot be better than one if we're going in opposite directions. Two can only be better when there is alignment. And if that alignment logically makes sense, then two is better than one, and four is better than two, and eight is better than four, and so on, and so on, and so forth, and so forth. If we are in a team, can I encourage you, there will be a good reward for your labor. There's a corporate reward. Hello. That is ultimately fulfilling the vision and the mission of the organization. We are a large, strategic, Christian church, full of life and full of hope. Our teams are full of life and are full of hope. Our services are full of life and full of hope. Our foyers are full of life and full of hope. Ephesians 4:16, from him, the whole body, the church in its various parts, joined and knit firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, when each part is working properly, causes the body, what does it say? To grow and mature. Do we want to see our church growing? Do we want to mature into what God has for us? Building itself in unselfish love. There's also a personal reward in working together. The personal reward is threefold. Just like a cord, it's not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:10 to 12 says, "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." The first part of it in verse 10, if they fall, one will lift up his companion. There is a supernatural resilience that we enjoy when we're part of a team because we're not doing it together. We're not alone. Despite the circumstances that we walk into church, despite maybe the sickness or the mistake or the loss, you've got people to walk with you, to help you, to pray with you. Just before this service, before the service started, the worship team, we're not just praying for the service, they're praying for someone in team who needs God breakthrough, who needs God to move in an area. Praying for one another. There's resilience. All of a sudden, I'm not alone. The second part of it is legacy. Verse 11, how can one be warm alone? This word warm literally means to conceive. Now, I'm not suggesting that our team should get all funky in this space, but it's talking poetically and figuratively about the legacy that we can conceive by doing things together, by sharing ideas. This year is legacy. It didn't just happen with one. It happened with people bringing forth ideas, bringing vision, speaking about it together, praying about it together, putting their part, putting their gifts into it. And legacy has grown and grown and grown for 25 years. Safety, verse 12. One may be overpowered by another, but two can withstand him. Oh man, we know the enemy roams like a roaring lion, seeking those he may devour. It's fear. There's fear everywhere. Turn on your TV news. It's fear, fear, fear. On my Twitter feed, all I want is memes and jokes. It's just fear, fear, fear. Everywhere you turn, there's fear. Fear separates. You know the root for the Greek word anxious means to separate and to divide? When we're separate, when we're trying to do things alone, when we take ourselves away from community, we're alone. And fear creeps in. And the enemy looks like a lion, like a roaring lion, to devour that person alone. But we can rest easy with no fear, worry, or anxiety because together we can withstand anything. And I believe that. I believe that. The world for many years tried to isolate us, but we kept going. We kept coming. We kept doing 10 services to make sure everyone could come. Because we saw the importance of community, of being together, of living together and praying for one another and being in church. It's such a beautiful and liberating place to live. So we're invited to trust God as we devote ourselves to sharing our lives and resources in real community. When we do that, we participate with heaven while on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we give our time, our talents, our resources to the family of God, church, we get a glimpse into eternity, what it's meant to be like. So today, my prayer, my encouragement for you is forget the lens of previous experiences. Forget the lens of personal preferences. Well, I prefer to be alone. I just want to do my thing. when I want to, at my pace. Forget the lens of convenience, of comparison, of isolation, or maybe forget the critical lens that we come to church with. There's a team and a community of believers at Enjoy that will dream with you, that will pray and champion you, that will laugh with you, that will cry with you. I've had a lot of laughing over the years and some crying. They'll pick you up when you're down. They'll cheer you up when you need it. Don't believe the lies that you don't need anyone or that you can run this race that God has before us alone. We can't run it alone. Don't believe the lie that there's no real importance of what you can bring in your gift. This is a real one. I reckon from a young age, the enemy has tried to lie to us that we're not important, that we can't do something, that you're not worthy. I always say to Lisa, I'm going to encourage my kids all the time, every day, because the world would spend a lot of time discouraging them over and over again. And you might, you guys can come up. They're in the back looking like, woo. You guys, the band can come up. Don't believe the lie that you have nothing to give. You have a gift. We read in the verse before, everyone has a gift and all of those gifts are for his purpose. Don't stay in disappointment of being let down by people, even people in church. Or maybe you've tried once to find connection and friendships, but it just hasn't happened. But don't give up. Trust God and try again. Get up and try again. Put on the lens of kingdom alignment. Take the step out of isolation, of doing things alone. Trust God that He has a plan. And that plan includes working together because two are better than one. When we view our purpose, our roles, with a kingdom-aligned lens, these are the beautiful images that are captured. Teams that you never see, but they serve every week and they hang out and they go to see movies and they talk about tech. Teams in the car park, who I love, when we will come in through the other side of the car park, through all those nights car parks, our car park team were there on gravel, in the mud, ushering us in, giving us high fives. Hospitality teams that during winter, they feed us hot soup and they do it with a smile, and there's all these people in the hospitality team. They're like, what can I bring? Usually the name is Maria. Mums love to cook. Teams like Empire and teams like Pastor Mick, and you're in every photo, Pastor Mick. Are you in every team? I think there's a revelation of the importance of teams on your life. There's a photo there of Empire Crew. That's another unseen team because they do stuff on Friday, completely different day. So you might not even see what they do. But it's incredible. It's incredible. The reason I'm kind of tearing up, and I'm going to hold it back, is Ariel, my oldest daughter, comes home on Saturday and she's got an envelope. And I was like, an envelope full of money from Empire? That would be sick. But it was an envelope full of verses and encouragement that each one of her leaders wrote. It's not your kid. It's my job to encourage her, and I do. But imagine the community of believers that goes beyond just me encouraging, Lisa just encouraging, but a team that love what they do and want to see these young people on fire for Jesus. And they write verses about them, their identity in Christ. And Gianni does the same thing with the Kid Mania team. They speak life and identity into the kids, and they're not even their kids. That's the power of community, of team.